It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this fourth day of August 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky's any real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room when this program is live Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And if you pop by now, you will, and you know, either use your old screen name and password or pick out a new one, you'll be greeted by early arriver Squeaky, and capably moderated by pinch-hit midweek chatroom utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Or do I need to maybe reload that? And let's see. You know, I could be wrong. Nope. Still the same crew. I wasn't sure because I saw the message from last night and thought that maybe I... But I didn't. Yeah, hi. I'm Robin. It is prayer meeting Wednesday here on The Horn. And let's get started with some gratitude. I can't do anything about that, Thomas. I have you on the stream, but you are double over at FYINation.com. Well, I'm only sending out two streams. I'm sending a stream out to White Rose, and I'm sending a stream out to HeadOn.live. That's all. Okay? So, with that having been said, Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different, so that means we send out thanks to our fourth day of the month subscribers. And that means, in point of fact, thanks to Paul, and thanks to Thomas, thanks to David, and thank you to David, and thanks to... David, and Paul, and Thomas. Thank you most kindly for being partial sponsors of the program. Where does that leave us? Well, we fell on our faces with regard to Bruce's Memorial Challenge this month. I hate it when that happens, but here's how it goes. I guess we'll call it 440 for the evening. So that'll be the remaining 140 from Bruce's challenge and 300 for this evening. And hopefully we'll knock that out. So 440, and thank you very kindly to those to everyone who keeps this program on the air. Little program announcement. I finally managed to get around earlier today to putting up the post over at GoFundBob.com and changed some of the photographs. And that is with regard to, and changed a little bit of, and put up a big post about the Horn Inn. You can also find it over at my Facebook page. And I think it went out on Twitter. I don't know. But it's definitely up at GoFundBob.com, and all the details about the Horn Inn are there, and we will go until September 15th and hope for the very best, because I want us to be able to get together and really enjoy each other's company and eat a lot of good food. Oh, my goodness. It is so much. And Good music, good, you know, like I said, good company. And the world's first live Friday on the front porch broadcast. Wouldn't that be wonderful? So all the instructions are over there in a rather lengthy post at GoFundBob.com. Now, it is, of course, Wednesday, this fourth day of August 2021. It's Wednesday. It's middle of the week. It's hump day. It's downhill to Friday. But, oh, brethren and sistren, it's also something else. Yes, indeed. That's why Brother Bishop Steve is moderating in the chat room this evening. It is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the horn. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. The little old blue-haired ladies were making takeout fellowship dinners down in the fellowship hall, and they outdid themselves with some hickory-smoked bacon-wrapped thick-cut pork chops. Oh, my goodness. They got those great big long whole pork loins and cut them into inch-thick chops. And, oh, they seasoned them and brined them and wrapped them in wonderful, wonderful Benton's bacon and set them to smoking so that they wouldn't get all dried out. And they put those alongside some griddled in butter mashed potato cakes. Heavenly days. And some applesauce and cooked apples off to the side. Just delightful. Just delightful. And every dinner that went out from the fellowship hall, brethren and sistren, oh, goodness me, it also had a big old slice of lemon ice box pie alongside. Oh, it was fantabulous. So, you know, since we're back to having remote services here, I'm the only one here in the Cathedral of Common Sense, and that's okay. We're all going to gather around our radios. So with a fundraising goal of $440, we will ask the Minister of Music to come up and lead us in the offertory hymn from his remote location. Brother Minister of Music, if you would, please. Yes.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. Welcome, welcome, brethren and sistren, sistren and brethren, to this remote broadcast, this socially distanced, COVID-concerned prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn, brethren and sistren. I'm calling on you now. We're not in the pews, and we don't have a blood red carpet. No, we don't. But I do want you to get on your feet, off of your seat, and I want you to go over to that computer subwoofer, and I want you to lay your hands upon it and feel the healing rays, amen, glory to God, of common sense of flowing through you from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Motherfucking Mother Superior, Naughty Nun, Maximum Metropolitanite, Robin Kincaid, and this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, live from the Cathedral of Common Sense. Amen, amen. And brethren and sister, and we have so many things to talk about in the realm of the greatness that is evangelical Christianity this evening, brethren and sister. And I tell you, we do. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, yes. And sadly, we have to bid farewell to another member of the flock. We do. That's right. Wade Morris of Birmingham, Alabama, stand. Birmingham, Alabama, amen, glory. Oh, fly him home on your angelic wings, Gabriel and Michael and Jehoshaphat and all them other angels, because Wade Morris has gone home to be with the Lord. Yes, yes. He was, he was much in demand as a speaker, brother, pastor, minister, youth pastor, Wade Morris was. But I got to tell you, there's something, you know, it says there in the Revelations about how blessed in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. Amen, glory. And so it must be mighty blessed indeed, because for once we got a story about a youth pastor that doesn't involve the youth pastor raping any children. So thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. No, Wade Morris done went home to be with Jeebus just two scant days ago. Yeah. He died of that COVID pneumonia. After having traveled 25 days before to a place called the Falls Creek Assembly in Oklahoma, Stan. Now, that's one of your largest Baptist youth camps in the whole blessed United New 90 States of America, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, in the universe today, forever under God. How? Amen, it is. Yes. 25 days ago, maybe 26, maybe 27. It ended 25 days ago, the Falls Creek Assembly in Oklahoma, Stan. Several parents who sent their children to be with these fine, good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian Baptists were a little bit, let's say, miffed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because the parents who had sent their teenagers to the Falls Creek Assembly, well, you know what? You got to count your blessings where you find them. They didn't come home all raped, Mommy and Daddy. They didn't come home all raped, as is so often the case when one sends one's child to Baptist camp. No, they didn't. Instead, they came home with the Rona. Yes. Oh, Jesus be with them. They came home with the Rona because they went to the Falls Creek Assembly in Oklahoma, Stan, to be taught how to be good little Baptists, and they instead became good little COVID patients. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was July the 9th, in fact, when pastor, brother, youth pastor, minister Wade Morris of Birmingham, Alabama, left the Falls Creek Assembly in Oklahoma, Stan. And long about mid-July, he wound up in the hospital because he, too, had the Rona. Because everybody was there, amen, praise Jesus. They were there praising Jesus and had their hands in the air, and they were singing Jesus songs, and they were so Jesus-y. But apparently Jesus did not stop the Rona from running like wildfire through the Falls Creek Assembly in Oklahoma, Stan. No, he didn't. He just said, you get on now. You run, hey, coronavirus, I am God and the Holy Spirit all in one. So I created you, coronavirus. You run and play there at the Falls Creek Assembly in Oklahoma, Stan. And Brother Wade Morris, at the tender age of 51, well, he went into the hospital in mid-July there. And, well, he never come out. No? Mm-mm. They never come out. 51 years old and an avid runner and a die-hard fan of the Alabama Crimson Tide. You know, they call Alabama the Crimson Tide. Call me Deacon Blues. Mm-hmm. Andy Harrison is the Conference Center Director for Oklahoma Baptists, and he said, I am heartbroken and sad today. I will miss my dear friend. He was one of the most passionate, energetic conveyors of the gospel I've ever been around. But apparently they don't preach that, you know, God made the world in 7 days and set things in motion so that people could become scientists and epidemiologists and virologists and doctors and nurses and certified nursing assistants and that all of that talent could go into creating a vaccine that might stop the coronavirus. No, no, he was washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. And so 51-year-old Wade Morris got him the Rona and then got to go see Jesus. I'm just kidding. He didn't go see Jesus. They put him in the dirt because there ain't no pearly gates and there ain't no heavenly home and there ain't no wings and there ain't no harps and there ain't no halos and there ain't no devil and there ain't no hell. Yeah, we don't really know when Pastor Brother Youth Minister Wade Morris, 51-year-old avid runner and member of the Southern Baptist Church, damn you, Southern, heathen, American Baptist. Well, we don't really know when he come down with the Rona, but we do know he wound up in the hospital. And, well, because there weren't any masks and because there wasn't any social distancing, a lot of people come down with the Rona. And, in fact, it was so bad that over in back in Oklahoma, Stan, after the Falls Creek Assembly there, a number of Southern Baptist churches there in Oklahoma, Stan, done shut down all of their activities for a good while in the last week or so. Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. Because after the Falls Creek Assembly, Rona started running wild among them churches. Mm-hmm. Brian Hobbs went on and said, Wade is a faithful minister. Wrong verb tense there, bub. Wade was a faithful minister of the gospel and a great friend to Oklahoma Stan Baptist. We're praying for his family and church family in Alabama, Stan, as we put our faith in the Lord at this difficult time. Well, I might rethink that if I were you there, Brian, because he wasn't much effect against the fucking Rona. Nope. And see, it's a great loss there in the Birmingham area because he was the founder of Wade Morris Ministries in Birmingham. And he'd been the guest preacher there at Falls Creek Assembly in Oklahoma, Stan, from July the 5th to the 9th. And they just loved him at student ministry conferences and whatnot, and Bible camp kind of stuff. And I mean, he even had a Bible study series that he pitched to him, and it was called The Journey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there it was that, you know, and when people were sharing on social media and the like, they said, oh, pray for brother youth pastor minister Wade. He done got the COVID pneumonia. Yes. Mm-hmm. And he did. And he died. We're not celebrating this. We're not taking no joy in this. It's damn sad because he leaves behind a wife and two children who, I don't know, maybe now they'll go out and get vaccinated if they're old enough, the children's if they're old enough, and the wife if she's smart enough. Yeah. Waterloo Road Baptist Church in Oklahoma, Stan, and Putnam City Baptist Church in Oklahoma, Stan, and First Baptist Church of Newcastle, which, curiously enough, is neither in England nor Australia, but is in fact in Oklahoma, Stan, they canceled church activities for several days to try to limit the spread of the virus. In other words,
With the barn burnt down to ashes, they closed the remainders of the door. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with that, with the horses gone and the barn burnt, the horses in this metaphor being, of course, the coronavirus. Reverend Joe Ligon of the Oklahoma Baptists, he's the interim executive director treasurer, said, well, at the camp they were adhering to strict protocols to protect the safety and health of staff and campers, but I guess the Delta variant wasn't paying attention to the, no, wasn't paying attention at all, I reckon. And flocks of angels sing thee to thy rest. Right? Yeah. There we are. So that's Wade. Wade Morris. Formerly of Alabama. Now of the Choir Eternal. Yeah. Prayer meeting Wednesday. Then of course there is the ongoing saga of Mount Juliet Tennistan's own Greg Locke. You might recall he threw a hissy recently, saying he would throw anybody out of his church that showed up with a mask. Here's the funny thing. Pastor Greg Locke does not have the power to throw the coronavirus out of his church. No. Not at all. Mm-mm. Yeah, here we go. By the way, he's a dedicated maggot, Greg Locke is, so that explains why he hates him some coronavirus. Hates him some Merca. Loves him some coronavirus.
I tell you, I'm so sick of HBO and the rest of this crap saying, well, all y'all do, y'all bunch of Q's, y'all bunch of perverts, and y'all just nervous because you know we got your number.
Huh? I didn't know. The Q's? Really? Q balls, maybe. Cucumbers.
Everybody says, well, when you going to apologize for being a false prophet? When y'all going to get the memo that I didn't get it wrong? Everybody like, well, you know, Trump's back. Trump ain't never went nowhere. He ain't back. He's always been around. He's the legitimate president of the United States of America.
You know, just like God's always been around. Alpha and Omega. Yeah. Well, he's a dandy, ain't he? Yeah.
I don't care if you stand up or clap or not. I'm telling you, Donald Trump is the legitimate president of the United States of America. You got to smoke a lot of dope in your mama's basement not to believe that fact.
Is that the case? You got to smoke a lot of dope in your mama's basement to think that Joe Biden is the president of the United States because he got something like 10 million more votes than Donald Trump did? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this real live, genuine, no kidding piece of work. I wish I was kidding.
God's about to bring the whole house down, ladies and gentlemen. These bunch of sex trafficking mongrels are about to be exposed. These bunch of pedophiles in Hollywood are going to be exposed for who they are.
Now, I want you to know, he's preaching under a big old circus tent. And on the sawdust-strewn floor there, is a whole, I mean, it's just packed with people, and some of them all standing on their feet in their little sundresses, and they're holding their arms in the air, and they're swinging them and swaying them and clapping away. Oh, wait, cowbell for Lee in New York. Trump's always been around? Yeah, around the buffet table. Oh, glory. The spirit is moving. And Steve in New York says, I am confused. What if it's not my mama's basement? Well, don't get all hung up in the details, brother Usher Steve. It can be any basement. In fact, it could be an attic if it needs to be, because we're talking about the metaphorical salvation of the metaphorical soul and the return of the metaphorical president, the once and future. You know, we were talking about those once and future king tropes on the program last night. Donald Trump, he didn't leave. He didn't get in that car. That was body double Donald Trump. And he went down into the White House basement. See, there's messages here, and it's about basements.
I don't care what you think about fraudulent Sleepy Joe. He's a sex trafficking, demon-possessed mongrel. He's of the left. He ain't no better than the Pope and Oprah Winfrey and...
Wait, how did Oprah Winfrey get sucked into this? The Pope, I get, you know, maybe there's going to be, I don't know, maybe there's going to be mention of some Freemasons or some Shriners or some Illuminati or Bohemian Grovers or Rosicrucians or Avon ladies, but, you know, never mind.
Tom Hanks and the rest of that wicked crowd, God is going to bring the whole house down. I said he's going to bring the whole house down.
He better not get too loud or that whole cheap-ass tent going to come down.
He's gonna burn the whole thing to the ground. He's gonna expose all these bunch of pedophiles.
And meanwhile, you wonder how many children Greg Locke's diddling.
I'm telling you, he's gonna expose Kamala Harris for the Jezebel demon that she is.
And her being a member of the Southern Baptist Church and everything. Never mind.
I don't know why pastors don't talk about this stuff. Well, I do. They don't want to seem crazy.
Well, bud, you're not seeming, okay? Wait. I didn't mean to say semen. Goddess of irony there, I guess. Naked radio and all. Actually, it's not naked radio. I'm rocking a two-piece bathing suit today, but never mind.
I'm already crazy! People like, do you really think it's that much of an epidemic? Do you honestly believe, how we're going to get somewhere crazy, do you honestly believe, Pastor Locke, that the military uncovered tunnels beneath the Capitol building and beneath the White House and in the Five-Fingered Lakes? Do you really believe that they...
The Five-Fingered Lakes? What? From Oprah to the Five-Fingered Lakes. I mean, I know about the Finger Lakes. I've heard about they're lovely this time of year and beautiful in autumn, if you like autumn. By the way, I renamed it. It's not soda, it's soda. It's the Society of Despising Autumn, because it makes more sense. People could be make mistakes about how to spell soda, but soda? No. There are three members thus far. There's no charge. Nobody has to ride a goat. But if you kind of get bummed out by autumn, and it reminds you that autumn is a sign that everything's fucking dying, well, then soda, the Society of Despising Autumn, might just be for you. I'm just saying. But yeah, you know what? I hate to confirm this cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, Lulu. But there are tunnels under the Capitol.
Mm-hmm. Sure are.
Probably under the White House too.
Yeah.
But they weren't discovered by the United States military. They were built by the United States government. I've been in them. And I know. Yeah. Well, there's Ms. Winfrey all done up in the House of Whoville hat and the fancy schmancy gown and, you know, the mitre of eternity and the mitre saw of eternity and the mitre box of eternity and right. I know that you see why we're leading off with this shit now, right? Wicked Tom Hanks and the Pope and Oprah Winfrey. Lee in New York says, what? And sister, how many Qs dance on the head of pins? Says Dave in the blind. P.S. How many sex traffickers do they vote for? Well, they voted for one sexual abuser. Probably. And if in that one district in Ohio, they voted for another one in the form of, or at least an enabler in the form of Jim Shorts Jordan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jeremy in Vermont says, is this guy so whacked out that he's just reading posts from Q and calling it his sermon? Well, it beats the hell out of working, Jeremy. Give a maniac a little bit of love. Oh, and by the way, thank you very kindly to Charlene a founding member of the sorority of Leans and founding member of Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society. We're down to 440 now. Or we're down from 440 to 400. Thank you. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so very much. Mm-hmm. It is mighty kind of you to do that. When the plate passed around, it came back, and there was Charlene's contribution. Thank you, Charlene, there in Rogues Island. Oh, and by the way, and maybe this will be a bit of an inducement, I know for a fact that at the Horn Inn, the one and only Tara Devlin will be in attendance. Just found that out a little bit ago. Tara's going to be there with us, won't that make for a hell of a Friday night, Friday on the front porch? Shoot, that thing may go all Friday night. Who knows? But I'm so tickled to know that Tara is going to be there with us. There wasn't there much in the first place to Pastor Greg Locke, but let's go ahead and let's go back to it.
Do you honestly believe, how about going to get somewhere crazy, do you honestly believe, Pastor Locke, that the military uncovered tunnels beneath the Capitol building and beneath the White House?
I got to tell you, though, I said we were going to get through it, but my Gadar and Transtar, and I am but a Padawan at this point, but the way that he is flinging things around, shall we say, as he goes through, the military found tunnels under the Capitol and tunnels under the White House. Oh, honey, we're going to have to, I think we're going to have to get Pastor Locke a wrist brace.
And in the five-fingered legs, do you really believe that?
Them five-fingered legs just kill me every time. Is he talking about, never mind.
They found kids, yeah, both live ones and dead ones. And if you disagree with that, and if you try to discount that, and if you try to cover that, and if you try to keep that on the DL, you're just as complicit as Hunter Biden and the rest of them bunch of crack smoking perverts.
Who? Testify, motherfucker. Oh, Jesus. And you know, that was just the beginning. It went on and on and on. And Pastor Greg Locke is doing everything he can to spread the coronavirus. And he's using Donald Trump as the vehicle to spread it, which is, kind of makes sense when you get right down to it and think about it some. Because, he said, I discourage everybody under this tent to get the coronavirus vaccine. I don't care if they send the military, they roll up there in there with tanks. Ladies and gentlemen, we're staying open. We're packed to capacity. You ain't got to wear a mask. No, but you probably do got to get the coronavirus. And if you missed out on it in versions alpha, beta, and gamma, you are going to love it as the Delta variant. They will be serving Frosties in hell before we shut this place down just because a buck wild, demon-possessed government tells us to. Don't believe this Delta variant nonsense. Stop it. There's no way that sumbitch is standing up there in front of all the sweating, grunting, barking, groaning hoi polloi, and he ain't vaccinated. He just happens to know that he enjoys doctor-patient privilege, and nobody's going to rat him out for taking his coronavirus vaccine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he went on and said, bunch of pastors talking about how much they want to see people heal, and they're afraid to baptize people because of a Delta variant. I'm sick of it. I ain't playing these stupid games. Well, you kind of are, Greg. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes, and yours is going to be, or some member, you've already bumped off at least one member of your congregation with the coronavirus. So, back to those five-fingered lakes. Billable Rick says, The good Reverend Greg Locke apparently is confusing the rock band Five Finger Death Punch with Bodies of Water. Oh, I was thinking maybe he was thinking about, you know, Rosie Redpalm and her five sisters. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to be a problem moving forward. I'm not giving in to this mess. You know what? You're not going to preach a lot of sermons, Pastor Greg, when you're horizontally crucified. Just saying. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, I was waiting, and I kind of realized that it's probably all our fault anyways. Seeing as how volcanoes and earthquakes and the like. So too it is with COVID-19. Yeah. There's some gospel sharp by the name of Jan Markel, or Markel perhaps. There's two L's at the end of it. And the program is Understand the Times. I would think that was a podcast about maybe analyzing the content of the newspaper there in New York City, but no. They booked some goober by the name of William Koenig. I think we've heard from him in the past. And, he had the explanation, he did, for just exactly why the country has been ravaged with the Rona. And, by the way, it doesn't have anything to do with, Donald Trump getting rid of the scientists on the ground in China. No, it doesn't have anything, no, not at all. Not at all. Doesn't have anything to do with ignoring the virus or being warned about it in November and not saying a damn thing about it until February. Nope, doesn't have anything to do with that either. Yeah, you know whose fault it is. Sure.
The last letter in the LGBTQ is Q for questioning, which is the mission.
No, dumbass. It's queer and then queer questioning. It's QQQIA+. But that there is the voice of your Jan Markel.
To confuse kids enough, they question their sexuality so they can be groomed and be evangelized. That is so true, Bill. This is a war on children, and the Bible is very clear. If you're going to go after the children, God's going to have the last word on that.
Oh, absolutely, Janet. I really sense...
Go after the children. Mm-hmm. No. Protect the children? Yes, because people like Jan Markel and this Koenig creature like to encourage things like conversion therapy, which is horrible for children. By the way, Charleston, West Virginia, the state capital, recently banned conversion therapy. And good on them for doing it. I can't wait to see the flurry of bills that come out of our maggot legislature when they meet again come January or so of 2022 to ban Charleston from banning conversion therapy, or ban any community or township or post office box from banning conversion therapy. Yeah.
The COVID is part of the judgment.
Okay, talk to me about that, please.
When we had a national shutdown last summer, we had every major sports league that favored the LGBT agenda that even took on states for their bathroom bills. When you think about Hollywood was shut down, we thought fashion was shut down, retail was shut down, all these areas that were so pro-LGBT, the COVID shut them down. Now, I don't know if they'll ever recover. You are absolutely right. Don't touch the children. This crosses the line. It is tragic to see.
Yeah, hold on. Wait a minute. Is this an evil, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christian saying don't touch the children? Because on any given day in America, there are a whole lot more stories about good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians touching the children than there are about any member of the LGBTQ, QQIA plus community touching. Oops.
See what they're doing, and our God is going to respond even greater. This is judgment. This is a pattern of judgment. Everything about this fits the pattern of judgment. And I'm sorry, there's no other way to put it.
Yeah, that's right. COVID-19 is God's judgment on people for living their own best authentic lives. There you go. Sure. There it is. The peace that passeth all understanding. Mm-hmm. Another follower of the Prince of Peace. God. God. Save me from your followers. Amen and amen. But it's every day. It's any day. And that's, you know, that's who they are, and that's where they are. But in case anybody was wondering about the vaccine, what's this? Ron and Raleigh says, five fingers. Could that crazy bastard have meant five fingers of death, a 1970s kung fu flick starring Lo Lee? I wish I could say that he had that much interest in film, but Greg Locke, no. No, I think it's much more worldly than that, and the goddess of irony. Do you see how she made me say semen? Well, she did even worse to him. Mm-hmm. Yes, five fingers of death, though. That's a cowbell, and so too is five-finger death punch for Billable Rick. There we go. Yep. You've been in the D.C. tunnels, asked Lee in New York. We should have known you were a mole. Hey! Just because I'm hairless and pink does not mean I'm a naked mole rat, okay? Lay off. That's not nice. Ugh. Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be, gonna be a busy evening. Back to the cue balls. And, of course, this would be Nazi aficionado Rick Wiles, the same Rick Wiles who takes Gator the dog for a walk every Halloween, and Gator perceives the demons that inhabit the inflatable blow-up spiders. And, you know, Rick Wiles and blow-up spider is probably just one of those things that you don't want to think about existing in those alternate universes, but there we are. This sick, slick dick, Darlene in Connecticut says, Dick Wad, is projecting onto everyone else, said Darlene from Connecticut, who is bored with pointing this out again and again and again, because that's what these crazies continue to do and get away with. But I'll continue to point it out in honor of Todd from South Carolina, Stan, who continues to take one for the Horn team and watch Washington Journal just about every day. I watched it a few times these past few days, and I'm just about ready to do a double fan go. Ooh, that's a... I don't know that I'm familiar with that term, but I damn sure know what you mean. You know, there's a... I mentioned how much Agnes and I are enjoying Ted Lasso over on Apple TV+. It is just so much fun. We're all caught up now. I promised her I wouldn't watch the first two episodes of the new season until she was back home from puppy sitting. So last night we sat, and we just sat there and giggled and laughed. And speaking, there's even a Van Gogh reference in there. You know, sort of like the way Van Gogh used yellow. You know, appropriate. The thing's full of that. It's absolutely full of that. And delightful. Just delightful. So the point being, Darlene in Connecticut notes, Pastor Greg Locke is the one doping up in his basement, but you know that. And how's they letting you, a lady, be preaching here, Pastor Sister Robin? Well, that's because I'm the motherfucking Mother Superior. Mm-hmm. And... Well, being as how we are an independent Oh, yes, cowbell for Double Van Gogh. Yes, Double Rex, thank you. And so we're three cowbells in this evening, which is nothing like three sheets to the wind. Because we're independent, we are self-anointing, and that means that I can preach. There's lots of lady preachers throughout Appalachia. There was one, oh, she used to be on WOAY every Sunday morning, and she'd bring her guitar with her, and she and her friends would sing there in the studios of WOAY-TV, Oak Hill Channel 4. And I mean to tell you, she was amazing. She was absolutely amazing, because after all, it's not everybody who can sing a song in several different keys at one time, and none of them be the right one. I got to the point where I thought maybe she was operating on some upper level, like, you know, free form new gospel jazz thing going on, because it was a guitar tuning the likes of which I had never heard, and you never got the same tuning on any given Sunday morning. Oh, she was amazing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, back to Rick Wiles, because this is a story about Rick Wiles. Alongside Lauren Witzke, and Lauren Witzke is a genuine cue ball, Rick Wiles, well, who has said that in the past he would never get no COVID-19 vaccine because they were part of a global genocide. That was a few months back. Well, now he's set out to explain why it is that he got the Rona in the first place. Remember, he explained not too long back that the Chinese Communist Party personally gave him the Rona. Yeah, I know. Well, now there's a little bit more detail, because see, it turns out there in the Rick Wiles studios that the Rona is running wild. All kinds of people getting sick. And rather than you know, own his own transgressions and within the tenets of his own Christian faith, repent and seek forgiveness, no, there's somebody else to blame. Because of course there is. Because, well, there always is. Yeah. And, you know, it isn't necessarily the LGBTQQIA plus community. No. I'm sure we're part of it, though.
Fauci is now pointing the finger at the unvaccinated people, saying they're the ones causing this outbreak.
Wait, what about Governor Meemaw? Don't leave Governor Meemaw out, Rick Wiles. She got a hell of a lot more press for saying that it's time to blame the unvaccinated than Dr. Fauci did. But wait, she's a Republican. And I bet you a whole bunch of your viewers are down there in Talibanistan, and it might not play too good with them because they voted for her.
Well, it's the vaccinated people who are getting infected. Aren't they causing the outbreak?
No, dumbass, because you see, there are vaccinated people who are getting infected, but they're not getting infected at nearly the rate that the unvaccinated are. In point of fact, the unvaccinated who are doing all the dying are up around north of 95% mark, but the number of vaccinated people who are dying is at 0.001%. Yeah, that would be 1/1000th of 1%. 1/1000th of 1/100th. And my decimal notation, that would be 1/1000th of... Good, that'd be like 1/100,000th. Something like, yeah.
You've got people who are vaccinated, who are shedding the virus, infecting other people, walking around thinking they are protected, and yet they are the ones who are spreading the virus to other people. And yet Fauci is going to blame the unvaccinated for this current surge that's taking place. I don't think that there is a variant called Delta. I think it's a name that they gave the public to explain the explosion of infections caused by the vaccinated people.
Now, see, he's clever. He is, Rick Wiles. Yeah. I mean, after all, he was able to teach He was able to teach Gator the dog, and I think Gator's a golden retriever. I think he was able to teach Gator the golden retriever to identify demons in blow-up spiders at Halloween, so you know he's got something on the ball there. And he's clever because he said, I think. No, he's not thinking at all because there's not a goddamn shred of data to indicate that anything he says is true. See, this is where he would use the word, I believe. And he does, I guess he believes it for the sake of the rubes there and their matching Barca loungers. Yeah, sure. I think. No, you believe, motherfucker.
Well, sorry, it's the gaslight variant, mm-hmm. if anything.
The vaccines are doing exactly... They're not vaccines. I don't know what to call them. Drugs. The drugs are... They're not experimental drugs. I used to say that.
Yeah, by the way, in case you were wondering, the FDA has now said that it looks to be making giving full approval, not emergency use approval, but full approval to the Pfizer and the Moderna and maybe the J&J and the AstraZeneca. Within a month's time or quickly like that, and that they also intend to make the vaccine available for children ages 5 to 12, because I don't know, maybe science sees what's going on with these policymakers who are trying to kill children, you know, people like Tennessee House Speaker Cameron Gravedigger. We talked about him last night. Who think that there's something wrong with trying to protect unvaccinated children from being around the vaccinated and vice versa, and trying to keep the disease from running rampant through the schools of Tennistan. Yeah.
The drugs are doing exactly what they were designed to do.
They kill.
Really?
Kill shots.
Satanic serum.
There you go. Satanic serum.
Satanic serum. Kill shots. By the way, I had a note. I had a note earlier this evening from our buddy Dave Number 11, and Dave told us, I had no reaction to the second Moderna vaccination. The technician wielding the syringe winked and said that soon everyone will be getting a booster. I initially had the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Medical experts are starting to recommend doing the same thing I did. I read an article earlier today on 6 points about what are boosters and whether you should get one. And one of the factors was, well, you know, we probably don't need boosters until there's an outbreak among the vaccinated. Hello?
Satanic serum.
Satanic
serum. It's the genocide. We're witnessing for the first time in human history global genocide.
Really? For the first time in human history? Genocide on a global scale. Round up every Jew on the planet, that was the goal of that. But see, Rick Wiles can't call that out because Rick Wiles really hates him some Jews. Mm-hmm. Speaking of genocide, though, Brother Usher Steve points out, the Holy Blessed Gathering of Harley Davidson's Everywhere is just 1 day, 6 hours, and 46 minutes away. Oh, blessed be, says Brother Usher Steve. I know. And if you think about Coronapalooza in Chicago, Steve pointed this out yesterday, and you draw a circle 1,000 miles out from Chicago, it'll probably encompass or get mighty close to Sturgis, South Dakota. And then you draw another 1,000-mile circle out from Sturgis, South Dakota, and what we're going to find out is that the Mountain West and the Midwest, here in about 2 weeks' time, is absolutely going to be ablaze with the Delta variant, thanks to Kristi Noem, the bioterrorist governor of South Dakota, and, of course, the organizers of Coronapalooza there in the greater Chicagoland area.
Compliments of the Church of Satan. The Communist Party is the political arm of the Church of Satan.
Wait, no. The Russian, the Putinka vaccine is the Russian vaccine there, Rick. I'm getting a little, and that's just a little bit of leftover warehoused Putinka brand vodka. Maybe, and you know, maybe that was probably just what they relabeled to make Trump vodka out of. But nonetheless, wrong vaccine, Rick.
These people that are running the world are Satanists. They're killing off massive numbers of people.
To what end? I'm just wondering. Wait, they're communist. Wait, it's the Chi-Coms.
The Chi-Coms, my friend. Hand me another one of those Oxycontin so I can chew it up with a refreshing burst of flavor. Oh, wait, I'm dead. What are you going to do with that pineapple?
Yeah. The Chi-Coms. Oh, don't come up with too many names for me to add to the beginning of prayer meeting Wednesday, Megan. You missed a few titles. Where's the Reverend Mother Cuisance Hotterock Maud Dib? That just might be too much. I'm trying to keep all this stuff memorized, Megan. I don't want to have to have a list I have to read every week. Yeah.
It's doing exactly what it was created to
yes.
do. And, you know, this was their plan all along. It was to shame the unvaccinated people into thinking that you're killing these other
And that's the aforementioned Lauren Witzke. Which sounds a lot like Lauren Whiskey. Which sounds a lot like that's what she was probably having a snoot full of before the cameras rolled. Before the little red light went on.
Than us. They're killing off massive numbers of people.
It's doing exactly what it was created to
yes.
do. And, you know, this was their plan all along. It was to shame the unvaccinated people into thinking that you're killing these other people. But really, it's the truth. It's the vaccinated seem to be carrying of whatever this bioweapon is that they're unleashing on all of us. I mean, you went a whole year. I shook 10,000 hands last year mm-hmm. on the campaign trail. Didn't catch it.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't catch it all last year. It wasn't until people started getting vaccinated, people started getting really sick.
Yes.
Do you know, that is such an alternate version of fucking history. It's almost breathtaking to contemplate. That is the exact opposite of what happened. Before the vaccine, the virus ran rampant through this country because of the manifest, gross, willful, wanton negligence and reckless disregard for human life of Nitwit Nero and those around him. And it spread and it spread and it spread, and the hockey stick got taller and taller and taller and taller. And the hospitals got fuller and fuller and fuller and fuller. Then the vaccine came out, and people began to get vaccinated, and it began falling. But then we plateaued. Long about May, we plateaued on vaccines, and, you know, places like Alabama couldn't get past 33%. Mississippi couldn't get past 33%. 38% maybe in places like Tennessee. And that, to use the language of Paul from Parts Unknown, bought lots of lottery tickets for the vaccine to mutate. And, you know, as we listen to this madness, we're kind of stunned a little bit by just how malevolently, how malignantly evil it is. But if you take a moment and you think about the people who take this shit in and take it seriously, well, we have a much... This is stochastic bioterrorism. Because in a nation this large, it stands to reason that there is a substantial number of people who are looking at each other. Well, you know, I don't want to get the vaccine now. I got a better chance without it. And they're going to die. And the people who are doing all the dying are the unvaccinated under the Delta variant. You know, it's the unvaccinated and 1/100,000th of the number of people who are vaccinated.
So,
And I'm convinced that my infection and the...
Now, here comes the... This is the setup. This was all a setup to bring this on. Because we have to explain away the fact that Rick Wiles got the coronavirus, that Rick Wiles was hospitalized, that Rick Wiles had to be given oxygen... But because he's, you know, wealthy enough to get decent care, he was able to survive it. But there's something that goes with it.
And I'm convinced that my infection and the explosion that we had here in our staff, among my family and friends, 20-some people altogether infected suddenly.
They were infected suddenly. That certainly sounds mysterious. Oh, they were suddenly infected. They didn't just, you know, get infected in a leisurely fashion, because, well, the coronavirus is not a leisurely virus. No, no. Suddenly infected.
I believe it came from a vaccinated person coming into this building who was shedding the virus. And I believe that's how it happened.
Yeah. No. Because the guy had said repeatedly that he was not going to get the vaccine. You couldn't, the government couldn't make him get the vaccine. Right? See? And then he went out and LARPed and lollygagged and smollocked and grabulated and unmasked up against a bunch of people. And then, lo and behold, he's got it. And then he went back into his studio while he was asymptomatic and gave it to his staff. Because asymptomatic spread is the really terrifying part of all of this. You can be absolute, you can have no symptoms whatsoever and be spreading it like a literal typhoid, well, not literal because it's not typhoid, but like a typhoid Mary. But again, he can't tell the rubes that. Oh no. Heavens no. Of course not. Yeah. Wow. And so that's pretty much how prayer meeting Wednesday is gonna play out. Let's check in, and I've never been there, but I've heard a lot about it. Klamath Falls, Oregon. And the takeaway to this story will be that when rocks are outlawed, only outlaws will have rocks. The Klamath Falls, Oregon City Council has an official by the name of Eric Osterberg. Eric Osterberg is gay and black. And later in the city council meeting, he explained something that had previously happened to him.
All right. Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council. I'm here before you today to talk to you about the Equity Task Force final report. Before I start on this presentation, though, I want to just talk about something that just happened in this chamber just at the start of the meeting. There was an individual who brought a rock to this meeting, proceeded to call me a sinner for being gay, accused me of spreading AIDS here in the community, accused me of blasphemy, and also of trying to say that I'm the second coming of Christ. And I just want to start the meeting off kind of pointing to you that just having a conversation, a simple conversation about racism in our community, is gaining that level of violence, that threat of violence. I would be remiss not to mention that's kind of the mentality I'm coming into this presentation with. Without further ado, let's begin. All right. Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council.
Like I said, when rocks are outlawed, only outlaws will have rocks. You deserve to be stoned. And yet, although the guy comes in and threatens the man with a rock, and says, "You are a sinner and you need to be stoned. That's why I brought this stone," said Eric the mayor of Klamath Falls, Oregon, Carol Westfall, said
it was disappointing that happened.
Mm-hmm. Then there's the police chief of Klamath Falls, Oregon, Robert Dentinger. As of Monday night, there was not enough information to arrest him, but as things change, we're going to have to talk to him.
Good. A good talking to. Let's see, Eric Osterberg is gay and black. Let me guess, the dude with the rock ain't. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about having given him. I'm going to have a good talking to with him. He's going to need good talking to. And that is what makes things so dangerous. And see, he was there. The police escorted him out of the meeting. No shit, they did. But did not arrest him. I-O-K-I-Y-A-R, y'all. I-O-K-I-Y-A-M. Precisely. So, I guess we'll have to watch and wait, because I don't think Mr. Osterberg is safe. I don't think he's okay. And having emboldened one rock-carrying dude by not arresting him, well, yeah, right. And by the way, thank you to Brother Bishop Steve and Miss Karen Little Cletus. They got us down below the $400 mark, down to $390. Thank you, says Steve, for not opening with the Cuomo story. Squint Eyes and Bobblehead spent their first hour on it. We get one turd in the punch bowl, and it's wall-to-wall coverage. They get one who's a self-admitted deviant, and they send him to the White House. Nearly twice. I know, and that's part of the reason I didn't, because you couldn't turn on a news channel without seeing Andrew Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo. And they're having an absolute field day with it over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, and I'm sure over at ONAN, the network that spills its news upon the ground, and, well, also at Newsmuck and that website that rhymes with light and fart. And when they were as silent as a graven image about any number of sexual abuse cases, sexual assault cases, about two dozen of which were credibly alleged to have been perpetrated by the former guy. Yeah. Hey, let's run over to the stress line. This is a treat. We've got Kate calling from far Canada. Hey, Kate.
Hi.
How are you?
Yes, I'm a Canadian. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Just fine as frogs here. We'll put it like that.
Nice. We, too, are in the middle of a rain of frogs at the moment.
Oh, God. How are things? How are things where you are?
Well, as per usual, expensive but friendly. We're in the middle of a heat wave and humidity, so for the last couple of days, it's been I crawl out onto my deck, and then I crawl back in, and the dog wants to take a walk for about 3 seconds. No, pretty normal. I'm working home, so that's nice. Gives me a chance to turn on CNN so I can scream internally, you know.
Well, you know, that existential screaming is always helpful. I got your note earlier, and you said you were just feeling a little political today.
I am. But I won't open with Cuomo.
Okay, sounds good.
But lead away with a topic and let's have fun.
Okay, well, you're a lot closer to the Canadian wildfires than I am. Let's start there.
Well, it's hazy. And the pictures of BC villages are very hazy. We lost a whole village there. They lost a whole town out there, so that wasn't pretty. That's happening on the West Coast. We're still on the wet end of the country here. But, yeah, not too pretty. Alberta's gone quiet. a little bit because apparently the oil sands are just not helping and they finally realize that, or they're just hunkering down for another go at Trumpian style Canadian politics.
And as far what's the virus status where you are? Are people, you know, vaccines, lockdowns? The border is closed again, isn't it?
The border is closed. There was chatter. There were semi-official announcements. They were looking at opening it, I think, on August 9th. But we're expecting the Delta variant and the run amok virus in the States that they may very well change their minds again and close for another bit. I'm very proud to say that in the Ottawa area, we are 80% vaccinated now.
That's wonderful. What about the nation as a whole?
I'm not sure what our vax numbers are, but we're up there. We're up there. I'm on the net here, just checking it out. Vaccination rate. Let's see. It looks like we are nationally sitting at 72% of one dose and fully vaccinated at 60.4%. So climbing the hill still, but getting better. I have a couple of, a few neighbors who are vaccine hesitant, and they're kind of relying on the rest of us, really. But I'm working on them every day. You know, we socialize around here in our new neighborhood. We just moved here. So, we just moved back into town from the good old country. So it's no more coyotes at 3 a.m. Now it's, firecrackers for some reason.
Really? Wonder why.
Yeah. I sat out on the balcony the other night. It was midnight. And I heard hissing in the grass, literally right below the balcony. And a single firecracker went off right in front of my balcony. And both the dog and I barked. And then I called out into the dark, "Who was that?" And Robin, there was no answer. None.
How strange.
I know. It was like the start of a horror movie. I hightailed it inside pretty quick.
Well, how are the new digs, by the way?
I love them. They're expensive. We're paying nearly $2,000 here for a 2-bedroom, 2-level walk-up. But they're brand new. And my daughter and I are very happy.
I'm so glad to hear it.
Thank you. No, it's been fun.
And you've been there how long? Moved in when?
We've been here since May 18th. So we moved in. They stuffed one room filled with boxes, and I thought I was going to have a stroke in the middle of everything. But we started unpacking right away with some help from a friend, and been settling in ever since. And we kind of took a design, and now people come up here and they go, "Ooh, your unit is nice." So we're pretty happy with it. And we think they go all of the neighbors. So all the way up and down the line, we have units that face the park, and we have then our units on the other side. We have a Facebook group now. It's called Party in the Back. So we tell people this place is a bit like a mullet. It's business in the front, but party in the back.
Well, that's wonderful. I know you were looking for a while, and I'm glad you finally found this place. It sounds absolutely wonderful. Tell me, I don't know what it's like. So, do y'all just sit just sit slack-jawed looking at your neighbors to the south and asking what the hell is wrong with those people?
Oh, shit, yes. Oh, my God, yes. Oh, yeah, it's a head scratcher every day, and there is no quarter of our world where it doesn't leak in and give us the old what the fuck. It definitely, I have to say, I'm ashamed to say, I tune into CNN more often than CBC. CBC is so calm. They talk to all different sorts of populations. It is multicultural, it is indigenous focused, it is just a lot of really calming things that they talk about. They ever since the pandemic started, they've been doing a daily news segment on the things that people have been doing to bring it together. The health messaging is on point and pretty steady. It's very calming. So, bored, and you turn to CNN where it's like, holy shit, the world is on fire. Well, that half is on fire. This half is flooding. There's an evangelical group in the middle praying about it to no one. And you can't take your eyes off of it.
Oh, no. And, the other, one of the other big stories coming out of Canada, Kate, and I sincerely hope it has not just disappeared from the news feed, because the bodies discovered at these so-called Indian schools, church-run, it's a horror. And, of course, as with everything, it may very well be that the United States invented them and then it crossed the border to Canada. But is there a level of sustained outrage? And two, are churches still burning? I think there was something north of 20 churches had been burned in the wake of the revelations of these graves.
I don't think that they're going to stop burning. I don't. I think that, we've been hearing, from the address, from the missing and murdered Aboriginal women, from the, the missing and murdered sisters. It has been everywhere. But the entire nation was shocked. For Canada Day was very, very quiet this year. Everybody coming to terms with, it's easy to dismiss, it's easy to dismiss the crop, right? And it's not so easy to dismiss when they start taking up bodies of babies. And, the question that reverberates across the entire nation is, how is it that schools in this country had graveyards in the first place?
Well, churches often do, and they were church schools. There's a larger issue in Canada relating to, and certainly we have similar here, and in many ways worse. But we in the United States, we tend to look to Canada and think, well, things seem pretty calm up there. But they're not necessarily, because the continuing encroachment on indigenous lands with pipelines, with drilling. I mean, I mentioned a couple of nights ago that, I have a friend up in Calgary, and she says that, Alberta is the Texas of Canada. And, my thesis, Kate, is no, Alberta is the West Virginia of Canada, because when you do to your own land what they've done with the tar sands, you're not Texas anymore. You've moved all the way into a place that has massive seas of toxic waste and blown away mountains. I imagine you could see the tar sands from the ecologic environmental nightmare they've created with that damn thing from space.
You can see it from space. You can actually see it from space. And that's a nightmare. I mean, you know, little Canada gets away with being quiet but off the radar. But we are a resource nation. We're trying to transition away from being a fully resourced nation. And thank God the Liberals are in control at the moment. But they're barely doing what is needed to move things in a progressive manner. They're doing a lot more than, say, the Democrats would be, but it's still, you know, it wouldn't be going as far as the Green Party or the NDP for sure. But Alberta is, you know, they have been nursing a grief since almost the dawn of this country, and constant complaints of, you know, how they get their... They have their boom years and their bust years and their boom years and their bust years, and they haul in people from all over Canada and they haul in all of these workers. They have huge social problems. They take money out of their social problems, pour it into their, you know, trying to shore up their dismal oil process right now, and then bitch when they're poor and haunt the rest of the country when they're rich. We have neighbors downstairs. They're from, told them, plain fact is your province is there.
Well, that's the nature of any resource economy, boom and bust. I mean, the entire history of coal in Appalachia is boom and bust. And usually all the booming gets done with the people who rake in the cash. And the busting gets done on a pretty regular basis by the people who actually live with it. So it's really no way to win, It's no way to run an actual economy.
Nope. And it's socialism for those with money already. And it's scrape by and pull yourself up by these non-existent bootstraps for the rest of people. You know, we get a taste of this. We have a lower population, and by necessity, immigration has to make up for that. But we get a taste of this political climate where money and power talk and dictate, and you know, we're watching the corporations take over. Quite dire. It really is. Like, we're not. You know, we feel good. We pat ourselves on the back because we can compare ourselves to showier states. But we are not far behind. Canada is having a massive housing crisis. You know, it's no accident that I had to leave my place because my landlady was selling. She didn't have any choice. She sold it for $450,000, and it was a 1,200 square foot on 4 acres in the middle of nowhere.
Holy cow!
And yes. Toronto real estate would blow your mind. Vancouver real estate would knock your head right off.
Brother Deacon Asa is out that way, and I've heard a little bit about the Vancouver real estate market. It's crazy.
It's nuts. Do you know what a peekaboo view is?
No, I don't think. Tell me.
All right. They advertise this in real estate in Vancouver particularly. Okay. That's where, if you go to your room, you're probably not quite enough to have a balcony unless you're a billionaire heiress. And the peekaboo view would be that you could see the sunset or the sunrise reflected in the glass of the building next to you. And they advertise that in real estate, peekaboo view.
And that's a selling point because other places don't even have the peekaboo?
Yeah, I think in Vancouver, I haven't set foot in Vancouver proper, but I think your choices are peekaboo view and paying with your grandchildren's money, or the downtown east side, which is meth and opium den.
That doesn't sound pleasant. So just out of curiosity, on the sort of mundane and everyday, there where you are, what's a liter of gasoline going for?
I think we're sitting at 104 or 108 right now. So it's $1.04, I think. I don't pay super loads of attention because we're driving in the city now, so we have to go 4 feet that away and 8 feet this away. But yeah, it's over a dollar, right? Yeah, and everything in the city is so close. We drive a little Nissan, right? So it's just like cut, cut here, cut, cut there. But everything here is expensive.
Oh, sure.
That's just.
Yeah, okay. Brother Deacon Asa just chimed in on Vancouver real estate. In Vancouver, $2,000 a month will get you 600 square feet, one-bedroom apartment in Vancouver. 600 square feet.
Wow. I'm paying $1,849 a month here, and we have got a two-bedroom, one-and-a-half bathroom, two-level, and they call them stacked townhomes, and they call them stacked because ours is the second and third floor. So our living room would be on the second floor, and our bedrooms are on the third floor. And then the lower units have the living room on the main level, and then their bedrooms are in the basement, like partially sunk. They're nice units, but it's expensive.
Golly, Moses. That... And I'm not sure what the exchange rate is for the loonie and the dollar now, so I don't know exactly where that dollar for a liter goes, but that's, you know, roughly $4 a gallon, and that's not, I mean, if it was dollars to dollars, it would be not that much more than what we're paying here in the hills and hollers. But the real estate,
yeah,
oh my God.
Not much more. The real estate is out of control right now. People are up in arms over it. I'm on a couple of Reddit threads, the Canada thread and the Canada housing thread, and people are shitting bricks. They're absolutely shitting bricks. Because what's happening is you've got people who are very motivated to sell their homes, which have suddenly jumped in value. There's an exodus from the cities due to the pandemic. The whole real estate market was backed up, so now it's flooding in again. And all of these people are leaving the cities because people are realizing you don't have to schlep into the office like a schmo anymore. You can stay home, and many of us can do our jobs from home. And you don't have to show up in some downtown anymore, so people are fleeing cities. The problem is, though, they're buying these houses at exorbitant prices. There are bidding wars that are just crazy.
Does it qualify as a bubble? Is this something that has to burst?
I don't know. I think it's a slow bubble. I mean, I guess it was late 07, early 08 when the housing crisis blew in the States.
Right.
And, it looked like a slow bubble until it didn't, you know, and when it cracked, it cracked good, you know. So we could be looking at a bubble. Everything has been slowed down with the pandemic. And I mean, you know, everybody right now, I mean, myself included, I'm on the CRB, which is the Canada Recovery Benefit, and that is $900 every 2 weeks. And that's intended to get us back on our feet, obviously. And they keep extending that. That's now extended into October.
Did it, when the pandemic hit, what did it do to your own personal ability to work and earn?
I was already working at home. I run my own business. I run Kate Cassidy Design, .ca, not .com, because there's another. But I was already working at home, and we had just moved out to Breakers in the middle of nowhere. And first thought was, oh, my God, thank God we're out here. And the second thing that happened was every phone stopped. I was in the middle of finishing up a project with a government department, and our last phone call, our last Zoom call was, they're sending us all home now. And this was, I believe this was first 2 weeks of April. And they sent everybody home, and then everything stopped. I got not one phone call about work until, oh gosh, I want to say December.
Wow. So,
yeah.
Let me ask you this. Tell people a little bit. You do design work. Tell people a little bit about it, would you please?
Well, I'm a graphic designer and sometime developer and a bit of a policy consultant. I trained in Beyond Graphic Design with a little consult outfit in Ottawa, and we have done graphics and document planning, regulatory stuff for almost all of the Canadian government departments. So I've worked with Public Health Agency of Canada, Health Canada, Justice Canada, you name it, fisheries, all of them really. And I guess
that's fascinating. So you mentioned Health Canada. Oh no, I lost Kate. I hope she'll call back because I wanted to get into the issue of anti-vaxxing because you know it exists up there too, and the whack-a-moles. Oh good, I hope we have her back. Is that you, Kate?
I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. Something dropped.
Nor do I. I was about to ask you, since you've worked with Health Canada, and you're probably paying attention to all of this. You know, any given day, I'll have two or three stories about anti-vaxxers or COVID deniers down here. How bad is the problem up there?
It's sporadic, it's definitely not as big a problem, but there are pockets. And I noticed there's a rural and urban divide. But even in my own neighborhood, I would say that if I was to count us roughly back here, our vaccination rate is probably more like 60% in this little neighborhood.
Do people talk about, I don't know the extent to which people are out and about at all, but do people talk about, I mean, do you run across people who are like way too many Americans? Oh, no, I'm not going to get the vaccine. And because, you know, down here, it's Bill Gates designed the vaccine to track you with his 5G towers. The clips that I had earlier, it's Satan's serum. It runs the gamut. And there's so much disinformation via places like Facebook. Is that present there?
We're getting the same exposure to on disinformation. People are a lot more hesitant to actually say the words, you know, Satan, anything. Not as religious up here by a lot. And people generally say, oh, I'm just not sure. I had one woman say to me, the one from Alberta, she said, I'm a little bit mad at myself for not getting it already. I'd like to soon. I'm a little mad at myself because I think I kind of fell for some of the conspiracy stuff. So I'm hearing that. And I'm a example for them because I had COVID.
You had it.
Yeah, I had it. Robin, I was on 4 acres in the middle of nowhere, and my daughter's boyfriend, who was going to work and going home, came to visit, and his boss had come into work with the damn virus and infected all of his employees.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, that's my daughter just walked in. Oh, sorry, okay. Yeah, I'm on a radio.
Well, if you don't mind my asking, can you tell people a little bit about your experience with it?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm happy to. I had COVID. By day three, I thought I was going to die and did not care. Get vaccinated. It was a horrible experience. At first, it was like mild flu, mild flu, mild flu. And then I couldn't sit up for more than 3 minutes. I would go out to the deck and I would sit out there in the fresh air and I'd say, well, that's enough of that. Go back to bed. I slept for hours and hours. Mine was a mild case. They didn't have to take me to the hospital, but they did start checking on me hourly. My daughter was about 24 hours ahead of me. She had it. Hers was a touch milder than mine, but not by much. And day three in the thick of it. And this was all about 2 weeks before we moved. So public health contacted us. You know, we had to get tested positive, and public health, we're on the phone with public health 2-3 times trying to sort out if I could move and if I could move safely. It was a nightmare.
And so I take it this is in like late April, early May?
This was in, this would have been in early May. And I was finally cleared by public health to go ahead with my move for May 18th.
Now, when you say they contacted you hourly, who are they? Public Health Canada?
Oh, actually, it was my daughter and my ex-boyfriend were checking on me hourly in the house, you know, just kind of looking in to see if I was breathing properly. But public health checked in daily. They called daily. I can't say enough good things about the brave and wonderful public health soldiers we had all over the place. They've been amazing, absolutely amazing people. And they're very thorough. You know, they're doing the contact tracing over the phone. So, and where were you? Which store did you go to? And who was there? And do you happen to have the number? And we're going to give them a call and we're going to, you know, we kind of joke about it now, but we single-handedly shut down the only Tim Hortons that is reasonable between Toronto and Ottawa. The nicest one out there. We shut it down because Virginia worked there, and when she got it, they had to close for 2 weeks. And apparently the McDonald's went down, too. She just told me that before yesterday. We shut down, like, most of the restaurants in Perth.
Oh my God! So, were you run? Did you run a fever? I mean, what kind of symptoms alerted you to the fact that you weren't okay?
The extreme fatigue. It started with the extreme fatigue and a headache, and the mind-blowing one. We lost our senses of smell. Virginia said someone had mentioned to her, what was it? Somebody who showed you Vicks Vapor Rub. No, I was using Vicks Vapor Rub, and I just couldn't smell it anymore. I'd taken it, and I was going to go on my way to the testing, and then I was like, that's not bad. Smells like Vaseline. Vicks Vapor Rub, not smelling. So I said, oh my God, bring it to me. I got to check this out. And she put the thing under my nose and all I could smell was petroleum.
Oh, wow. I know someone who's dealing with a breakthrough case right now. And she said, well, there went my sense of taste. Did it come back?
Yes. Well, Virginia and I, and Virginia's voice, y'all heard. She and I kind of joke to people that COVID has taken some things away from us that it hasn't given back yet. And one is an altered sense of taste and smell. Some things just taste a little different than they used to. And we have periodic fatigue. So I'm energetic today. I'm feeling pretty good today despite the heat. Yesterday, I died at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon till 4. I was on the couch out cold and no energy, none. and it goes in waves. I go up and down about every 3-4 days. I need the mother of all snaps.
That's terrifying, Kate. Do you feel like you're on the road back?
If I'm on, I think, you know, we are facing the right direction. I'm really excited. Virginia's vaccine is coming up August 22nd. I'm very relieved to be vaccinated. And I feel like we're facing the right direction, but the road has an unknown horizon. We have no idea. It's not like recovering from the flu where they say, oh, give yourself another 6 weeks and you'll be fully recovered. It's been 2.5 months, not there yet, and feel a little bit like I'm not going to come back from parts of this. It is indeed terrifying. It is absolutely, completely, you don't know how you could get it. You don't know where you could get it. We were safe. We were masked. We were everything. We let one guy into our house that just did work at home and kapow. And I had a mild case, no hospitalization. And by day three, I was ready to scratch out my will on a grid paper. And it was like 8 words, grandpa, grandma, come get Virginia.
Oh my God. To be dealing with things that, oh my God. Now, are you vaccinated? Did I understand that right? Or is that coming up?
I sure am. I am so vaccinated. I walked in and I was like, give it right here. I'm ready.
So I'm curious about that, Kate. Having had it and then getting vaccinated, did you have a response to the vaccine? Did it kick your butt?
I sure did. The first vaccine gave me a day of feeling a little run down. And the one gave me harsh memories of COVID. I was down for about a day and a half. And I felt like I did when I was on day three of COVID. I was like, I was lying, you know, like the sign of the cross, right? I was like on the cross on my bed, and I could not lift my arm.
Good God.
I thought I was going to bring my coffee with a straw.
Just because you couldn't pick up the mug, or you weren't strong enough?
I couldn't pick up my head. I could not pick up my head. I could pick my head from... I couldn't pick up my head. And I was like, oh, this vaccine is working. Because my body knew what it was. It was like, it didn't care that it was little inner viruses in COVID Halloween costumes. It was like, we've seen you motherfuckers before. Holy shit. And it reacted. And that's
wow.
How I know I got immunity, because my body fought two Braveheart style battles.
So having had the experience you've had, Kate, I'm really curious, how do you personally feel when you see stories of these anti-vax idiots and people saying, you know, masking doesn't work? I mean, I imagine the public school schedule is not that different in Canada versus the United States, and we're back at getting ready to go back to school, and we're going to go back to school completely unvaccinated, or not completely unvaccinated, but, you know, nobody under 12 is vaccinated in the schools, and it's an open, if you want to, you can, if you don't, you don't have to kind of thing for the teachers, and you've got state governments forbidding mask mandates in school systems.
Yeah.
The governor of Arkansas, for instance, who is a hardcore Republican and has not exactly been a leader in the struggle to get Arkansans vaccinated, he recently said, well, you know, it's kind of a shame that the legislature passed that law and I signed it into law saying we couldn't have any mask mandates in schools. But, oh, well, I mean, how do you, having lived through what you've lived through, Kate, how do you feel about those people?
I'm enraged. I'm absolutely enraged. I mean, it's not enough that I'm a 52-year-old fat lady. I am menopausal, post-COVID ball, and I'm not quiet about it. I'm not polite about it. I'm on Facebook going, what the fuck kind of research are you going to do that's worth more than the CDC or the Public Health Agency of Canada? What the hell are you going to do better than the doctors that you can walk around saying you're pretty sure this works? The children, they're going to kill the children. The Delta variant is a completely different ballgame. I'm apoplectic with rage, Robin. I really am. I don't understand, and I knew they were flipping it when I knew in April 2020, I was like, they're going to fuck this whole thing up. And I said to everybody in earshot, thanks to the internet, that was everybody. I said, okay, watch the States. They're going to fuck this up in a spectacular fashion because they've got no messaging. In fact, their messaging is starting off the hop political, and they are, they're assuming it's going to hit all the Democratic cities. It's going to go raging through the entire country, and we're going to be able to do a count. I was doing screenshots for a while, body count, and the numbers climbed so high, so fast, in such a trajectory, I couldn't even believe it myself. It was just like, wake up the next morning at 50,000, then it was 75,000, then it was 100,000 within a few weeks. It's insane. And, no, I've been a race ball. And, how that translates around here is when I've got the vaccine hesitance in the car with me, and I'm immune. So right now I'm immune, and the Delta variant isn't an issue yet. But, I'm starting to think about, what it's going to be like when this gets a little further. But I'm saying things like, all right, I've had my vaccine. I've had reactions to my vaccine. But if I'm still fucking around by Christmas, are you going to listen to me and get your vaccine? You, Mr. Diabetes overweight, you're going to die. You, Miss Young Thing, you're going to have to not work and not be able to pay your rent. And it's your name on the lease taking care of your dad there, and he'll die. You, Mr. Fencer, you're going to go in and you're going to either catch it or infect somebody that you're working with out in suburbia, and children could die. Children will die. We're watching it happen now. They're talking about teenagers in hospitals dying. And I could tear my hair out. I really could. And I'm amazed. I we're watching the culmination of so many things all at the same time. It's like the fall of Rome combined with everything your high school teacher warned you about not studying properly. It's just, it's all an insane fall of crazy. And and somehow Trump is sitting down there like a toad, and the worshipers are absolutely going to follow him to a death. It's the Pied Piper of crazy.
Yeah, it reminds me of, the Middle Ages and the Crusades, when they had the Children's Crusade, and they were promptly slaughtered. And this is the morons' crusade. They will gladly, even though he's vaccinated, they won't get vaccinated. I don't know what the reasoning is, Kate. He didn't really get vaccinated. They just made him say that. I'm sure that's out there somewhere. I had and I would love to get your take on this. I had my own little adventure today. I went out and got my new driver's license with my new photo of new me. And I know, it was so wonderful. Got it Monday. But the thing is, you have to wait for the actual hard plastic license to show up in the mail. So they give you a 60-day paper copy. And just because I'm me and I can be a bit of a mess and accidents happen, things get spilled, I thought, you know what? I probably need a few copies of this just in case. So I was out running errands.
Yeah.
And I stopped at the local public library. I put my mask on. I went inside. and just got four copies made of the license. Seems prudent. And then because, you know, we're chatty, you know, and the librarian seemed reasonable, and we started talking about, it's really weird. It went from a literary discussion into this, we went from zero to anti-vax in no time flat. And so we start talking, and she says, well, you know, I worked in the medical field, and you know, I didn't argue with her. I didn't. But I listened to her, because I've heard this from so many people. It's like crabgrass in a nice lawn. It spreads. So she said, well, you know, I've got this cousin, and her niece was married to a guy who got killed in a motorcycle wreck. No kidding. He didn't have COVID. But they listed COVID as his cause of death because, you know, the government has to code these things that way so that they can get their money from the federal government. And behind my mask, Kate, my mouth was hanging open catching flies. I was like, oh my God, because I can't tell you how many people have told me that story. You know, and it's always a relationship that's like 3 or 4 degrees attenuated. You know what I mean? And then she started telling me how, you know, they've known about this coronavirus for 30 years. You know, they first identified it inside the flu virus. That's where they found it. It's related to the flu virus. And finally, at the end of it all, I couldn't take anymore. I had my hand on the door. I was trying to get out the door before I just started barking. And I said, ma'am, for the sake of you and everyone around you, please understand this. I promise you, it is not even remotely related to the flu virus. It's not even a flu virus. It's a completely different kind of virus. Okay? And she said, well, you know, you believe what you want to believe, but I know what I know. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my God, you're going to kill people.
And I'm telling you, you're going to kill a member of your own family. You might kill your child. You're certainly going to kill your mom. Like, I lost my mom in the middle of all this. I lost my mom.
Oh, my God.
And she didn't die of COVID, but she was in her nursing home room, and you know, we spoke on the phone every day, and we got her set up with FaceTime. We were able to do that, but I hadn't seen her in a year and 2 months, and she died. You know, it's terrible.
Oh, what a horror!
I got a few things to add to your story here. Just to throw that in there, CDC and the Public Health Agency of Canada would like you to know that catching flies is not possible in a case. Just so you know. But kudos to try it, right? Apparently the flies don't fit through, but they can put a microchip in the vaccine. I've heard that one.
Liquid barcodes. I mean, the technology is so far advanced, I can scarcely even imagine it. Liquid barcodes and little tiny 666s, and it's all magnetic, and it'll make your neck stick to the refrigerator when you walk past. I mean, the level of this idiocy is stunning. But my question is, where is it coming from? I'm sorry, you broke up.
I have an opinion on that. The evangelical religious fervor that has developed and grown in people's fear, and they're raising people that I like to call Roundup Ready. These people are Roundup Ready. You know how they genetically corn to accept Roundup and
oh, I knew exactly. You know, yeah, I knew exactly what you were talking about.
So the people are Roundup ready. They are dragged into church from a very young age in a highly corrosive form of narcissistic Christianity. And they are indoctrinated from a young age, and they're told flat out, do not overeducate yourself. Not be smarter than your husband. Do not get out there. Do not be worldly. Do not question. Just trust your Lord will provide and all that jazz. People that won't get into the boats when the flood happens, right? Because they'll be like, God sent me. Yeah, God's trying to send you a boat. You're too stupid to see it. They, you know, and there seems to be nothing getting this individual, you know. They say you can stretch the mind for curious thinking, and apparently you can also turn your mind into a little bonsai and keep the roots, keep the life small, keep them from branching out, keep them from critical thought, and they're reaping now what's going on, and they're killing their own babies. You saw the turnaround on Fox.
Oh, yeah, and
they're peppering their insanity. Well, get vaccinated, you know, Sean Hannity.
Right, and you know, all this from people who say they're pro-life, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But they don't have a problem pulling the plug on grandma. The heartbeat law is there. You know, I don't know. And lately, I'm a Redditor. I know a lot of Reddit because there's a lot of weirdness out there, and the stories that come up, and it's, you know, subreddit Leopards Ate My Face is all the stories of people who said one thing and then life came at them so. You know, widows of men who died going down saying, you know, I'll never take the vaccine. I'll never take the vaccine. Nurse vaccine now. No, it's too late for the vaccine. And that's just one who is self-aware enough at the bitter end. And they've got stories from health professionals across the world saying, the people are sitting in their hospital beds on the oxygen, pleading for them to be dying of anything but COVID. Because apparently it's a fate worse than death.
Yeah, well, because they and because they don't want to be confronted with their own terminal ignorance and their own terminal negligence. You know, we had the story coming out, I think the nurse in South Dakota back a few months ago who said, there are people who swear they don't have COVID even as they're being intubated for it.
Yep.
And they literally die convinced that they didn't have it.
Now, I mean, I'm the next door neighbor, right? But as the next door neighbor, we've been around on this brand new old continent on Turtle Island. We've been here for a long time too. And as the neighbor, I have to say, you know, I'm forced to conclude there's something in the American national character that has metastasized. And it is the, you know, the stories that one tells oneself of rugged individualism and self-reliance and nobody's going to help me. I'm going to do this myself. And, you know, at some point, the message got missed. It got lost of any kind of community involvement. That's why when the pandemic hit, I thought, oh, shit, you know, they're going over Niagara Falls and there's not even a barrel because they don't have universal health care, which makes me...
Oh, we don't believe in barrels.
It's amazing. It is incredible. You know, like, I don't know whether they think that God is going to come and pick them up by hand or whether Red Bull's going to give them wings. But either way, between situations and the churches, they're being absolutely hosed and mowed under. Like, they are Soylent Green.
And the thing is, I sit here watching all this Delta variant stuff, Kate, and I wonder what it takes to get them on the ark. I mean, are we just going to sit here stuck at 50% in the United States and let it burn? Because, as our friend Paul from Parts Unknown puts it, the longer it burns, that's the more lottery tickets it buys to mutate and turn into something even more awful than what we're dealing with.
It's funny you should say it, because I think in order to get on the ark, America has to stop believing it's a fucking unicorn.
I think you're right. By the way, I got a note from our buddy Steve in New York. And he said, the mandates of the University of Ottawa has infuriated his partner. He's a part-time professor there. The university is only requiring vaccines for people who live in campus housing. Otherwise, there's no mandate for people on campus. There's not even a mandate for employees. That's horrifying.
That is horrifying. That is horrifying. And you know, and people are reacting to other similar weak-ass mandates. You know, we keep almost doing it. All of us, we keep almost doing it and almost getting there. And then some asshole goes, what about the economy or getting back to normal? And every time they do this, every time they do this, it makes the whole shit longer.
Lather, rinse, repeat, right? And so we wonder, you know, I mean, the Biden administration is trying really hard, Kate. Let's not take anything away from that. But
oh, I think they're doing the best they can.
It's gonna take action. Even New York City, and you know, the hue and cry from the right wing about New York City, it's gyms, it's entertainment venues, it's restaurants, and you can't go in without a vaccine passport, or without, you know, I even hate that phrase, vaccine passport. You can't go in without proof of vaccination. We can just say that.
Because here in
2021, vaccine passport has become the butter emails.
Oh my God! I know critical race theory. I swear to God, I go by a gun and shoot myself. But
don't even.
But holy, I know. I one of my neighbors was out on my deck yesterday, and he hasn't gotten vaccinated yet. He's going to though, because I'm working on him. But he said, you know, the hard part of all of this is I know that if I moved down to the States, I'd have to buy a gun. I said, yeah, because the genie's out of the bottle. And that's the problem. Like, that's the problem with coronavirus too, is the genie is out of the bottle. And don't we look back nostalgically to last April when it looked for an instant like the world was coming together? People were clapping and banging pots and pans and singing opera off balconies. And at least within the cities, within New York, people were coming together. You know, they were afraid. They were naked and afraid on Fifth Avenue, but they were coming together, for Christ's sake. Nurses and doctors were being applauded, and now look at it, you know? I say Canada's doing better, but we're kind of in the middle of the pack, you know? We're not the shit show that is Britain. They're not doing well. We're not the shit show that is the States right now, but the United States is actually at least the administration is trying, you know, and but we're not doing all that much better. You know, we keep almost hitting the net too, right? And every time we near miss, we're like, that's good. Okay, everybody, good, 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 good work, good work. Let's go back to work now. And it's not happening. Normal is not coming back.
No, normal is going to, whatever normal is going to be an entirely redefined reality.
Yeah. And everybody's acting puzzled. Well, why can't it get back to normal? By the way, we're having a worker shortage. You're not having a worker shortage. You've got a wage shortage.
Bingo.
Right? You don't have a worker shortage. There are millions and millions and millions of people who would be happy to work. I would go out there and, you know, if I wasn't busy at home, I would happily go out and work in Loblaws for the week. But it's not worth my time if I'm not getting a certain wage. And right now, we're on the CRB, $900 every 2 weeks. It was $2,000. I think it was $2,000 a month from the very beginning of the pandemic. I had a friend who was in the government. He worked for the CRA, and they threw together the fastest electronic website pay system for anybody in Canada who is a citizen with a SIM card. They threw together the fastest, most robust system we could have ever seen. Everybody was blown away. But now, if you're running a business, you have to pay people.
Which should have been kind of like all along, right? But down here, I saw a sign in a window yesterday that said, "Please be patient with us. We're short-staffed, and we appreciate you being understanding of the people who at least showed up." And that's something management puts on the window, Kate. That's not something the workers put on there. The people who are working there have absolutely no choice in the matter. And
family, God.
You know, I don't know if you know this, but the minimum wage for people who work like waiting tables, I think, what, $2.30 an hour? And you got to make the rest of it up in tips?
Yeah.
Screw that.
And then you want the even crowd, right? And they give you tips in the form of religious tracts. It's insane. It's insane. They want slaves back. There's a significant part of the population in North America that would quite happily take a slave system. The only problem is hardly anybody seems to realize that most of them would be on the wrong end of that relationship, because we're a lot closer to homelessness than we are to billionaires.
Oh, God, yes. And that makes, you know, we were talking about the real estate market there in Canada. What is the situation for people who are unhoused in Canada?
Well, it's dire as it's ever been. You know, I think actually there might be a small uptick in improvement because in Canada the world is on the serve, right?
Right.
So people have been helped to get an actual income. You know, there was a hue and cry because the income that the government gave throughout the pandemic to replace, you know, keep people out of offices, et cetera, was higher than the disability income and the poverty that were out there to begin with. But I think a lot of homeless people have been getting help by actually being on the CRB. But God knows what that's going to go back to, right? And, the whole problem is that the money pushes out the not money. The corporations push out the people. And, you know, we're becoming a nation of renters. You're becoming a nation of renters.
Oh, yes.
And that's not good. It's not good. Very, very bad. Although I should say it's very, very bad for now, but this is the kind of thing that is going to wind itself up so tight that the watermelon will explode. There will be a revolt. I've been watching the people, and I've been in tears about it. I've been watching the people just now starting to pour into court because the moratorium on evictions isn't holding anymore.
Yeah, the eviction moratorium and the failure on that is just shocking and stunning. And there's real potential for it to become something absolutely disastrous. And I'm just...
I can't even imagine. You know, it's going to be a whole. There's going to be whole states that look like the Burning Man festival, for Christ's sake.
You know, in other circumstances, that would be a funny reference.
It might be, but yeah, you got to be careful to say what's burning these days.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it's true, and we have populations up here, indigenous populations, like enragingly, still living in lands that do not have clean water. And, you know, I've had an inside view with the government department of that is, and that's that money gets flung at a very paternal money gets flung at the problem, and then it flows down and down and down and disappears at about the level of the consultants and the lawyers.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you what, Kate, it has been a lovely conversation. I'm so glad you reached out to me earlier today.
My God, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, it's absolutely been a pleasure. And don't hesitate to reach out anytime. You know, you don't need an invitation. And you've got the number now. And just anytime, anytime the spirit moves you, as the saying goes, you just got a note from Jude in the Great Northwest. Gentle thoughts sent Kate's way in learning of the passing of her mom. It's such a major life transition when we're faced with this reality. I lost my mother in 1980. Some days I have a strong sense of her, which I enfold the moment and take it to heart. I know that...
Oh, you tell the people.
I'm sorry?
They brought me to tears.
Oh. Jude is the... one of the sweetest spirits in this little radio community. And, you know, I just applaud your determination and your courage and the strength with which you bore up under such hellish circumstances. And I wish only the best for you going forward. So, like I said, I'm really thrilled that you reached out the way you did. It was just wonderful.
I'm so happy. I was so nervous getting on, but I'm so happy. And, you know, you truly lead by example. And I know I've listened to so many of your friends, and they all lead by example in terms of courage and community. And it makes a difference. You know, we're all we have, and you know, thank God we're all here, really.
Yes.
And now that I have your number, you have a stalker.
That'll be just fine, Kate. That'll be just fine. And listen, you and Virginia, take care of yourselves and stay safe and stay healthy. And you know, you're going to be smart about it. And all you got to do is stay away from the morons. We hope.
Thank you so much. You too. Stay beautiful, honey.
Oh, thank you, Kate. You have a good evening, dear. Take care. Bye now. That was just wonderful. That's Kate up in Ottawa. And my God. I'm just so glad that she was able to weather the storm. and in reasonably good health and still felt like crap. You know, that just reinforces everything that Paul from Parts Unknown has been telling us. Do everything you can to protect yourself from this damn thing. So we are well into the third hour of the program. This is Conversation Radio. If you'd like to jump in and engage in it, please feel free so to do. That little interaction I had early, I got to stop making small talk with people. That's what it boils down. I'm a personable individual. I like to, you know, hey, how you doing, yada, yada, yada. And it was a perfectly normal conversation about books and history. And then the next thing I know, I'm hearing about the friend's cousin's niece who knew a guy who got killed on a motorcycle, and they listed it as COVID. And it's always a car wreck. I mean, I've lost count. This is the fifth or sixth or seventh person I've met who's told me the same story, and then they follow it up by saying, "Absolutely true." What is it in human nature? And this is not a rhetorical question. What is it in human nature that makes people want to spread that kind of falsehood? I don't understand it. What's going on inside the human mind when we decide to spread? Do we actually is there a behavioral health issue where we take something like that into ourselves and actually convince ourselves that it is true? I don't know enough about psychopathology to be able to offer up a meaningful explanation. But it's all over this country. It is all over this country. And it beats the living daylights out of me. I can't figure it out for love nor money. And again, you know, what Kate and I were talking about, I really do want to know the source of all this stuff. Where did it begin? You know, we delved deeply into the source of the misinformation that attended the 2016 election and all the misinformation and disinformation that went with that. Where does this shit come from? Because I think if we ever sort that out, we might be on the road toward trying to recover from it. Is this just the Pandora's box that we opened when the internet came online? I mean, this stuff was always there to one degree or another, but it didn't spread nearly as perniciously. And I'm licked. I don't get it. So, any thoughts you may have are, I don't know, more than welcome. Because I kind of got nothing. And by the way, we are down below. We're down below $400 on our fundraising efforts for the evening. And remember, do a program note, I will be gone from the 24th of August until like the 2nd or 3rd of September. So I'm doing some traveling at the end of the summer and hoping to come home without, you know, the Rona. So it becomes imperative that we do, in fact, maintain the funding for the program. I'm going to do what I always do and try to keep all the bills paid, but it ain't easy. And this, you know, this little effort has been a struggle from jump. But we're still here. Air America's long gone. We're still here. A lot of programs by the wayside. We're still here. And we're still here by virtue of your determination. Thank you so very, very much. You know, there was an election yesterday in Ohio. And that is the central part of Joey's journal. And I don't often just patently disagree with Joey, but I do here. I'm going to share it with you. And I may, and some of it I may wind up deconstructing. The subject of Joey's journal this evening is Clyburned Again. And Joey writes, thank you to all of you who expressed interest in our whereabouts the past few days, but Jeffrey and I were very busy with the campaign. However, I guess we weren't busy enough because another progressive lost last night here in Northeast Ohio, a place where a progressive should win easily. And Jeffrey chimes in and says, yes, I think we got Clyburned again, referring, as Joey puts it, to what Jim Clyburn did to Bernie last year. I got a real problem with that phrase. The three of us are very disappointed. Jeffrey and I were out on the campaign trail in West Akron while Junior remained back at headquarters making long-distance calls and speaking with top people in high places. A giraffe would do that. So Jeffrey gets to give the post-mortem. The people really seem to like when Joey takes me with him to campaign and knock on doors. Most people were very receptive when they saw me with my Nina Turner button attached to my mane. On Saturday, a little kid answered the door. When his mother asked, who's at the door, the child answered, some guy with a giraffe. I always put a smile on most people's faces, especially when Joey tells them my mantra and what I stand for. He explains to them that giraffes are the highest standing animal, often over 17 feet tall. So Jeffrey likes things to be high. For instance, Jeffrey stands for higher wages, at least $15 an hour, higher taxes on the wealthy, a higher standard of living for all people, including health care. And most of all, every morning, Jeffrey stands up and gets high and stays high all day long, so cannabis for all. And careful what you say in front of the kid, Jeffrey, because there's Junior.
I'll have you know that my daddy is a very effective campaigner who knows how to lobby for a higher cause, so I guess you could say that he is, wait for it, my daddy's the best campaigner who knows how to lobby for a cause, so I guess you could call him a hired gun.
Oh. Jeffrey has rubbed off on Junior in a big way. Joey, by the way, Bernie loved Jeffrey's mantra, but initially he was not too sure about Jeffrey. Actually, Bernie was not too sure about Joey, and Bernie was overheard asking one of the staff at the rally, who the hell brings a giraffe to a campaign rally? Yeah, I felt a little bad, Joey says, when I was standing in the front row with Jeffrey, because I could tell it unnerved Bernie a little bit. However, as luck would have it, I had a chance to explain to Bernie all about Jeffrey after Bernie spoke. Since Jeffrey has a son now, I'm teaching him how to drive. So I let Jeffrey drive home from the event with his GPS, that's a giraffe positioning system, guiding his way. All of a sudden, Jeffrey makes an apparent wrong turn down a back, dark, deserted alley. I yelled, Jeffrey, where are you going? Hell, it looked like there was a drug deal going on behind the dumpster. However, just then, two sheriffs walked out with Bernie. Well, as it turns out, Jeffrey stood tall again. This time when he did, he looked over the building and saw the vehicle that was chauffeuring Bernie, so he knew exactly where to go to find him after the event. Good job, Jeffrey. Jeffrey parked far enough away from Bernie's limo so that the sheriff would not see him in the driver's seat. I didn't want to approach Bernie with a giraffe because I thought the sheriff might shoot Jeffrey or the both of us as I approached with said giraffe. Let alone giving me a ticket for letting a giraffe drive an automobile. As I was walking up to Bernie, he asked me, where's your giraffe? I then apologized and explained the mystique and mantra of Jeffrey. Bernie loved it, laughed out loud, and just as the picture was being taken, slapped me on the back and said, that's great! Bernie liked the cannabis part where Jeffrey gets high and stays high. What a great moment that was. What a thrill. But Jeffrey did not get high today as he's feeling very low, realizing there would be no Nina Turner in representing Northeast Ohio in the House. This has been Joey's Journal for Wednesday, the 4th day of August, with Jeffrey wishing Barack Obama a happy 60th birthday today, while looking also around for some progressives for Junior to play with. And there's a $10 We Need Nina challenge. And when I said I was going to take issue with it, I'll just say this, and, you know, there is no all the jokes about sycophants aside, This isn't that. One of our signal virtues here is that we have managed to find, you know, some didn't, but we've managed to find moments when we can disagree without being disagreeable, and this is one of those places where I disagree. For one very good reason. I don't think I could ever vote for anyone in an election who had voted for Jill Stein. You know, if you cast about, this being prayer meeting Wednesday, if you cast about the Bible, you'll find references to unpardonable sins. There's supposedly only one. And since it's unpardonable, you know, and the way it was always taught to me was to deny the existence of God. That's the one thing God, who gave everybody free will, would not forgive, as if it was a sin. And this, of course, is how religious hierarchies maintain their social, political, and psychological control over their flocks. But that having been said, I do have some unpardonables. And voting for Jill fucking Stein is one of them. In 2016, you know, if the bottom line is, that's part of how we wound up with Nitwit Nero. Another part of it is, of course, the Electoral College, which is nothing but a holdover remnant of our vile days as a nation of enslavers. But that's part of it. And so, the other part of this, and Joey didn't do this. Joey didn't do this, but I have seen it in the last 24 hours. Yeah, as Steve in New York reminds us, she didn't just vote for Jill Stein, she campaigned for Jill Stein. You know, the Russian asset, Jill Stein. But I've seen others say that, I distinctly disagree with Joey's reference to having been Clyburned. You know, that election was between, or that primary was between two African-American women. One African-American woman had the support of a respected African-American member of Congress. The other, and I'm not being mean here, I'm simply describing things as they are, the other had the support of an old white guy. Sort that out. And no, Jim Clyburn is not my idea of a wild-eyed leftist by any stretch of the imagination. But this idea that Jim Clyburn did something to Bernie Sanders in 2020 is odious in the extreme. It's unsettling. It's icky, for lack of a better term. Jim Clyburn did what any other free American can do. He chose a candidate and supported that candidate, and the candidate that he chose and supported was Joe Biden. Joe Biden, if you were listening to this program during the 2020 election primary season in the Democratic Party, was not my choice. But I have said time and time again, after the election was over and we saw how the administration was proceeding, how glad I was to have been so wrong about Joe Biden. And I just deeply object to the idea of constantly trying to pick the scab off of old wounds by suggesting that there was something nefarious in Jim Clyburn deciding to support a young African-American candidate with a 9-year record of service in that district. It's as if people want to look for every reason except the likely correct reason why Nina Turner lost. Nina Turner lost because more people voted for her opponent. That's why. And to suggest anything otherwise is to sort of play the same kind of politics that Nitwit Nero has been playing since November of 2020. And I don't mean to be insulting in that regard. But accept the results and move on and recognize the how one lost. Okay? Nina Turner just didn't get as many votes. That means Nina Turner did not, and the people around her did not convince as many people to vote for her as her opponent did. And that means that the opponent had the better campaign. Oh, well, they put a bunch of money into the campaign. Well, goddamn then. That means that Nina Turner's campaign failed to raise enough money to win. There can't always be some sort of excuse other than we didn't win because we didn't convince enough people. To a certain extent, elections are popularity contests. And this just makes so-called progressives look horrible. And I hope we can stop it. You know, maybe if Nina Turner had a whole bunch more Joey and Giraffes and Junior, she would have done better. I don't know. It's kind of like what I say about my dear friend and colleague for all these years, Boss Man Wayne. If the Democratic Party in West Virginia had a whole bunch more Boss Man Waynes, we would not be in the political mess that we're in. Because instead, we've had people who wanted to be a friend of coal. And I live in a state where the political party is largely a cult of personality for a friend of coal so-called centrist, which is actually another way of saying right-wing conservative Democrat who basically owns the party. I can at least acknowledge that. And I can talk about the fact that we fail at messaging. And if you fail in an election, you are failing at messaging. Because you did not convince enough people to vote for you to get more votes than your opponent. It would seem to me this is not rocket science. But, you know, here we are. I mean, I've got another... I found, and this is certainly not... You know, it's not a reflection on Joey by any stretch of the imagination, but I saw some thing the other day. It was somebody posted it. It was someone else's tweet. Kate raised the issue of the failure of the eviction moratorium. And what this thing says is, Joe Biden has no problem authorizing airstrikes and killing civilians without congressional approval, but when it comes to literally preventing mass houselessness, suddenly his hands are tied without Congress. That is some bad faith messaging. I mean, from jump. It's either bad faith messaging or it is someone writing it who has absolutely no comprehension of how the federal government works at all. At all! Because Joe Biden, and I do not agree with the just, you know, the cruise missiling, you know, on a whim. And on a whim is not how we do it. It is what the military-industrial complex does and likes to do. But there is actually a piece of legislation called the War Powers Act, regardless of what you think of it, that enables the President of the United States to engage in limited military operations without the approval of the Congress or a declaration of war. Why is that? Because the Constitution designates and gives the duty of being to the president of Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces. Constitutionally, that's one of the things he is. Other countries, say the UK, well, they go to war with a committee. There's a, you know, the cabinet, which is made up of members of parliament, because they do not have a chief executive there in a parliamentary system. You've got a minister of defense, or formerly a minister of war, and they take action based on a committee vote, literally. But that is not how the federal system that was envisioned by the framers of the Constitution works. The President of the United States shall be Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces. Ta-da! Curiously, in Article 2, there is nothing about how the President of the United States shall be the... what? Czar of Housing. Or the Commander-in-Chief of Housing. He still has to have the cooperation of Congress. And one wonders how many people saw this tweet and went, yup, without even taking a moment to wonder at its veracity. Make no mistake, we have to address the eviction moratorium and the looming eviction crisis. But under our constitutional system, the ability of the president to act unilaterally is extremely circumscribed. There are things he can do within the ambit of the executive branch, but he cannot do them outside it. It goes back to Barack Obama. Again, happy birthday, Barack Obama. If only you'd been more progressively pure. You might have won a third term. That's a joke. But he did everything he could within the executive branch to deal with the pandemic of gun violence in this country. It wasn't nearly enough. He knew it wasn't nearly enough. Harry Truman did everything within his power within the executive branch to address the issue of systemic and institutional racism. That's why he was able, as Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces, to integrate the United States military during his presidency. As president, however, he could not simply order businesses to desegregate. Or even schools. That required either the Supreme Court or the Congress. And it would be 16 years before the Congress would act and give us the Civil Rights Act and then the Voting Rights Act. Occam's Razor tells us that the simplest answer is most often the correct one. But you have, in order for Occam's razor to shave, that simplest answer must also be based upon facts and not ahistorical or illegal or acivic postulations.
When it literally comes to literally preventing mass houselessness, suddenly his hands are tied without Congress.
Because they are. And this makes us look like shit. It really does. You can't just print money. The purse strings are controlled by the House of Representatives. He can appoint a houselessness czar. But that houselessness czar is not going to have any appreciable budget. Maybe he could do something under Homeland Security. But don't you know that there would be a lawsuit waiting to challenge that? It's shit like this. That makes me think that there are other motives at work. You know, when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez castigated the failure to deal with the eviction crisis looming, she didn't just point her finger at Joe Biden. She pointed it back at Congress. You know, what's that old saying? When you point your finger at someone, there are four pointing back at you. She's a member of Congress. And she was doing right by the issue as she understood it. But she understood it was Congress's job to do. I don't like pointing out things like this. But damn. What's the alternative? Just to let it breeze by and pretend that that's the truth? When it is absolutely not, when viewed through the reality lens as opposed to the ideological purity sparkle fart propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrol lens, I'm kind of at a loss. We as progressives, liberals, whatever we're calling ourselves, have got to get better at understanding why we keep losing. Why people don't want to vote for us. Why hectoring is not a winning strategy. So, you know, Joey, I say that with all the love with regard to where I disagreed with you. I say that with all the love in my heart. You did everything you could to support your candidate, and I applaud you for it. But when our candidate loses, it's not always because something nefarious took place. Something nefarious took place in 2016. Something nefarious took place in 2000. There's no doubt of that. But it doesn't mean that there's something nefarious every time when our candidate loses. We can say, God, you know. What's that old saying? The people have spoken. Bastards. It's just reality. And so, you know, we need to be smart in where we challenge, and it made sense for Nina Turner to run, but. You know, there may be more. I'm not a voter in that district, but if somebody runs in this district in a primary, you know, primaries are for the heart. The general election is for the head. And I hope there's not going to be a whole bunch of butt hurt in that district where people don't vote for the Democratic nominee. Because I guarantee goddamn double T you, she will be orders of magnitude better than any fucking maggot that the Republicans put up. Orders of magnitude. I mean, she's not going to be another Henry Cuellar down in Texas. Him, there's not that much difference between him and a Republican. But we've got to get smarter. And what I was saying is, if someone was running in my state or in my district who had actively campaigned for Jill, not just voted for her, but actively campaigned for Jill Stein, you don't get my vote. Neither do Democrats who voted in 2016 for, wait for it, Donald fucking Trump. I do have standards. There are unpardonable sins. Those are two of them in my book. So, that's that. Back to issues relating to COVID. Barbara tells me, and this goes back to my story about the woman who knew the person who had a niece who was married to a guy who was riding a motorcycle and got killed, and they listed it as being COVID so that the hospital could get their federal money. Kind of makes me wonder if, I didn't know the United States federal system applied globally. Trying to figure out how that works in India or China or Mexico or Iran or Italy or Turkey. Is the global conspiracy that fucking vast, really? That Iran is engaging in conspiracies with Italy and Great Britain to get federal money for hospitals, for COVID deaths and COVID treatments? Really? So Barbara says, Bob, people tell me, Robin, that they have, no worries, Barbara, that they have a relative who is a nurse that told them that no matter what people die from, it's listed as COVID-19. Oh, I've heard that one too, Barbara. My grandson-in-law told me last year that his sister, who is a nurse, told him that it was a lie about the hospitals were crowded with COVID-19 patients. I found out later that his sister and his mother contracted it. The lying ass still refuses to get vaccinated. By the way, my granddaughter's an ass too. She's a refusenik. Damn. And they're all over the place. Oh, and by the way, as to being magnetized by one's COVID vaccine, Cynthia in the Bay Area said, the vaccine didn't make me magnetic, but I am damn sure made of Velcro now. Okay. Stay away from fuzzy things, Cynthia. Jeremy in Vermont says, anti-vaccination freaks. I hope these crazy people start screaming next time it's time for my tetanus booster, not going to take it. God will protect me. At least when they go from their muscles freezing up, it'll be slightly quieter than going on about masks and Bill Gates and how our bodies are meant to fight off disease. Oh, no, if they're told to get a tetanus booster, they go get a tetanus booster. What do you want to bet if they get bit by a potentially rabid animal? Let's say, they try to pet a raccoon and it bites them. Well, then prophylactically, you go in for your rabies injections, and there's one a day for 30 days right in your belly, and it's not fun. I wonder if an anti-vaxxer would refuse anti-venin if they were bitten by, say, a Gabon viper or a rattlesnake or a cobra or, anything like that. Probably. They're that goddamn dumb. Nah, maybe not. They're just hypocrites. Back to Jim Clyburn for a moment. Stephen New York says, I completely disagree. Clyburn did Clyburn, Bernie. However, that's not the issue. The issue is that there is nothing wrong with that. Remember, politics is a blood sport. Short of lying, all cards, at least as far as I'm concerned, are on the table and are fair game. I think I said that, Steve. He, being a free American of voting age, had the absolute right to choose and advocate for whomever his candidate of choice was, and his candidate of choice was Joe Biden. He had a long relationship with Joe Biden and knew Joe Biden, knows Joe Biden. And that's what politics is. It's about forming alliances and friendships, and frankly, at the risk of disappointing Steve from Georgistan, I will mention that that is now the downfall of Andrew Cuomo. He played that bare-knuckled, hardball, old-school brand of power politics to the point that he had no friends left in New York state government and other, and even parts of the federal government. And now he finds himself facing a horrible crisis all by himself. Those who live by the political cudgel will die by the political cudgel. And he's getting it in spades. And you'd think that a political pro like him would under, and maybe he does. Maybe he does. Jim Clyburn, just to talk about him for a moment, and people like David in South Carolina, Stan, and Todd will know this far better than I. Jim Clyburn has hosted a, I think it's a fish fry, for eons. And it brings in the multitudes. And he manages it with more than a few loaves and five fishes. This is a party. It is a feed. And it is that kind of thing is a staple of classic retail politics in the United States. If you read, for instance, my favorite political novel in American history, All the King's Men by Robert Penn Warren, one of the central events is a giant barbecue that the candidate Willie Stark, who at that point in time is kind of a political novice, is called to speak at. And not, come on, how old is this book? It's not a spoiler. But the night before, he gets rip-roaring drunk because he is informed by somebody who just couldn't stand to watch the sleaze go on any longer that he has been brought into the governor's race as a patsy. And looking bleary-eyed and hungover as hell, having had not only the hair of the dog, but the whole dog that morning. Rip-roaring drunk, he goes to the barbecue and unloads on the two candidates for governor, explains that he will not vote for the candidate who has been his patron, but will indeed vote for the other guy, and says, and if he doesn't deliver, I'll be back in 4 years and give me the meat axe, and I'll take it to him. It is a powerful moment in that book. And remember, the inaugural of Andrew Jackson was one great big drunken brawl at the White House where the hoi polloi and the wool hats not only partied on the lawn with a humongous wheel of cheese and probably lots of whiskey and beer, but they also got in and trashed the White House, too. More of that history that we don't teach so much of. So it's worth knowing that kind of thing. And that kind of retail politics still works, especially in largely rural areas, where a big party is a reason to show up. Free food? Yeah. In the Depression era of All the King's Men? Absolutely. And also in 2020. And so he is a power broker. And that is the nature of American politics. So I don't think Steve, I don't think you were disagreeing quite as much as you thought you were. But to say that someone was Clyburned, that makes it sound like it was dirty. And as Steve pointed out, politics is blood sport. Short of lying, all cards are on the table and fair game. Precisely. And it boils back down to what I previously said. He chose a candidate, supported a candidate, and not supporting the other candidate is not some sort of act of fucking treason. But, that's not to say anything bad about Bernie, and it's not saying anything bad about Nina Turner. But she was not robbed. She wasn't ripped off. She chose to compete in a race and lost that race in a primary. Shorty in L.A. says, true, Robin, about the executive branch, meaning the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development does have powers, just like the Secretary of Education did when they used their powers on student loans. Secretary Fudge has the power to deal with homes and homelessness. Unfortunately, President Biden is only using the CDC to slow evictions, and that's fucking temporary. He is doing as much with the CDC as he constitutionally can. I mean, do you remember when Barack Obama used a recess appointment and they took him to court, and recess appointments were completely legal, and they took Barack Obama to the Supreme Court to have a Republican Supreme Court declare that it was illegal to do for a president to do a thing that it had been legal for a president to do for fucking generations. We have to live in the real world. And frankly, let the consequences be what they are. And right now, we are at present set up for, God forbid, because it gives me the horrors to even think about it, we're setting ourselves up to lose the House in 2022. Because this is going to be used disingenuously as fuck against the Democrats in 2022. This eviction moratorium. It damn sure will be, and it will be used as cynically it can possibly be used, because not one goddamn Republican would have lifted a finger either. And so it becomes a self-inflicted wound. You know, I would be the last person in the world to ever suggest that you want to pay attention to Fox News Radio, News TV Radio Rwanda, but I'm sure they're hammering at it night and day. The failure of the Biden administration. The failure of Nancy Pelosi. Got to have the votes. And guess what? If it had gone to the Senate of the United States, do you know what? Do you know what an eviction moratorium would do in the Senate of the United States? Here, let me help. Gather dust. It would sit in that pool of blood and dust that exists not only on the desk of Moscow Mitch McConnell, but on the desk of Joe Manchin. I mean, my God, if the man is willing to sit and utter not a peep about thousands of jobs leaving his own home state. Of course, they weren't coal jobs. Then what do you think he'd... He'd stand up and he'd piss and moan and blather and soft soap and give that bullshit tone of a funeral director visiting a whorehouse about how, well, you know, the budget really, I mean, I'm worried about the deficit and inflation, and well, that's why we've got to let people stay homeless. It is a bicameral legislature, and to blame it all on the House of Representatives is either disingenuous, or it displays a profound lack of comprehension of how, you know, Congress works. So there's that. And that's the end of the program. Thank you very kindly. We knocked down a little bit more funding. So very kind of you, Kevin, in South Africa, and so very kind of you, Will, in Chicago. We got down to $355 to come up even this far into the week and this far into the young broadcast month. Thank you both so much. Thank you to Jeremy, and thank you to Charlene as well. Thank you so much. And thanks to each and every one of you who are PayPal or Patreon subscribers. Thanks to everyone who steps in as an a la carte contributor. You are why this independent effort at liberal and progressive broadcasting continues to exist. You are, in fact, the only reason. And thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program, in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Pinch Hit Midweek Chat Room Utility Moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia Stan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way in just a little over an hour. 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Best place to listen to the first round of Malloy is always headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of Congress. I mean, they're gone, but the staff is still there. Ask him to co-sponsor HR 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. And on that day when we pass it, this community, this little radio community, will be able to say, those who made that call, sent those emails, that they had a hand in saving lives in the sacrifice zone. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine. You heard Kate's story of what it was like to go through COVID. You don't want it. If you don't have your vaccine already, make sure you get it. If you have it, find somebody, encourage someone to get theirs. Use all your first line defenses. Wear your mask when wear your mask in places. Wear your mask. Maintain your social distance at least 15 feet if you possibly can. Make every effort. 15 to 20 feet, Paul from Parts Unknown says. Use your hand sanitizer. Take some with you everywhere you go, pocket or purse. Or, you know, European-style messenger bag. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. And for God's sakes, if someone comes up to you and says, you know, my cousin has a niece who's married to a guy who got hit by a peach truck on a motorcycle. Don't try to parse that. And when they put down how he died, they didn't say he got hit by a peach truck. They said he had the COVID. And that's what the government that's what you got to say now in the hospitals to get your money from the federal government. I don't trust the government, and I don't trust the medical community. Avoid that person like the plague and leave the library because they are. Later.